Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James.
And we are excited to bring you another installment of our shorter episode format, where we have 15 minutes to discuss a topic. And this, you know, this sounds like NPR or something. Like, that is a very, like,
maybe
a templated thing.
It's our job to take the reins from NPR. Everyone who listens to NPR is now going to listen to The Complete Musician Podcast. Get ready for millions and millions of followers.
I'm so excited, as opposed to our normal seven. I'm very excited.
But you know what? Those seven that do listen, we appreciate you. Thank you.
You are valued in our hearts.
And those six of those seven is me just listening to it on different devices.
And my one student.
Right. You ever seen those pictures of those it's like cell phone factories where people have walls of hundreds of cell phones just to farm clicks and likes? And I wonder how we pay someone to do that to boost our ratings.
I wonder what the ramification is of that and how much you actually have to pay, because you get ads about that all the time, like buy followers and buy views. And I'm like, I wonder what the price point is on that.
I don't know. There's no price on our knowledge.
It's like scab work. Like,
that's right.
It's bad. Anyway, we don't care about those people. We care about you, the listener, that interacts with us and listens and all of that. But anyway, this
that's
is
right.
our 15-minute format, and James has a topic today.
I do, and I need to get my timer ready, because that's now that it's been a while since we've done this, but I'm remembering that's what we did. So we're going to choose a timer called Story Time, and it sounds like this. If that even comes across on the microphone. And away we go. So today's topic is something that I'm kind of currently working on, and it's a fundamentals plan. So this summer at the Kendall Betts Horn Camp, I'm doing something new, which I'm teaching the fundamentals course, which is normally taught by other faculty. So the point of discussion is that I have 6 days to cover fundamentals. So, one fundamental or general topic per day, what would you do? What are, like, the six pillars of fundamentals? That's my question to you. So, it doesn't have to be in order of importance, but what would you say one of those fundamentals is? Or if you want to, you can be like, what is the most important thing, or how would you start it? Knowing that, I don't know, in this case, it's like, high school to adult. It doesn't have to be that. You could talk maybe in your studio, but
this doesn't have to be a linear model. We're going in the Phil Farkas warm-up model, which is extremely hard to extremely easy, then extremely hard again, and then
we're doing the model of just whatever the heck we want. I mean, my approach to this is segmented, so it totally could be a model where you do progressive. You know, you hit every fundamental every day and you ramp it up. But rather, I'm thinking, like, this is a menu where you can pick and choose, like, oh, I want to go to day 6 and 2 and 3, even though that's not how this actually works. But
right. Yeah, I could, because in my mind, fundamentals is a linear progression of learning them and doing them as like a warm up. But this is not that. This is like fundamental of, like you said, pillars of playing, which if you're thinking in a, I'm assuming you're making like a buffet, like you're explaining the pillars and then like you take from that and you make your fundamental routine.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, someone coming to a camp or like if you're teaching a master class, like someone comes in and says, hey, I want to learn more about blank, or I'm having trouble with blank. Like that's what I'm kind of seeing is, okay, well, today we're going to talk about blank.
Blank. Got it. Okay. 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 So six pillars of playing. The first one, on the spot, I would say the first thing that I stress with my students before anything is tone production.
Brilliant. I'm on the same page with you. That's day one for me.
It's got to be tone production, but and that encompasses a lot.
Okay.
I mean, that is because it's not just like making the sound. It's like how you make the sound. And so the fundamentals that go into that are breathing and setup. And I mean, the concept of, like I said, breathing, but that's exhalation paired with inhalation, direction of air movement, mm-hmm. And speed and temperature and all that. And then I think the hardest concept of all of that is not just like the response of that, because I don't think we're getting... There's another pillar related to that, but we're not...
There is, yes.
But we're not going to think about that, but just like response of it. But also, I think the hardest part of that is tone.
Yeah, exactly. So,
that's the hardest part.
And another word is, I said tone and timbre. And so do you feel mm-hmm. tone and timbre being the same or different?
Oh, is that a question? Oh, sorry.
That's a question.
Is that a question? Okay. Tone and timbre being the same. They are different, and I'm trying to think about how I would say they are different, because the tone that I think a mark of really controlled playing and really beautiful singing playing is the ability to change your tone color at will.
Yeah, right. Color, the concept of color. I think that's where that's different for me is.
Yeah. And then your timbre, I think at some points it needs to be, you know, bright and others dark, and depending on the ensemble and the moment and all of those kind of things. But I think that's the hardest part of that fundamental is making a tone. And gosh, I think I would say that at this point in our careers, I would say that I've always thought you've had a beautiful sound, and I really like my own tone. Mm-hmm. And
we blend well, I think, for that reason, is that we have a similar concept.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I work on in this fundamental with my students the most, is because the inhalation and exhalation part is like a routine. Once you get into it, you find the concept, maybe a metaphor or a routine that works for you, mm-hmm. you know, with air storage and all of that. I think everyone's a little different in that, in the way that they do it. But when it comes to like the tone part of it, I think it's hard for young students to work on tone because I think they need to know what really good sounds like. And I also think it takes a long time for tone to develop.
Sure.
Like really, like I think that's just one of the slowest moving things in horn playing is tone, like a good tone.
And here's my hot take aside, is that people struggle with it more now because they listen less.
I agree. I find the same when I ask my students, what are you filling your head with? And they're like, you know, the one recording of, I don't know, of Herman Bauman on Spotify. I'm like, great. Well, who else are you listening to? I mean, that's fantastic. But like, who else are you listening to? No one. Oh.
Well, okay. anyway, I will say, just to kind of move things along too, the other part that I had was intonation, because I feel like if intonation isn't right, then tone and timbre isn't going to be right as well.
Yeah.
But
I've been rediscovering that too. Yeah. Like with my students, I've been helping them to discover that like the instrument wants to resonate, and it's going to be on most instruments is going to be pretty close to in tune. It's just we have to do something. Anyway, keep going. Yeah.
Well, so here's kind of a crossroads. Just looking at the timer, we're like at the halfway point. Do you want to continue to talk about this and then just continue our segment in all their little 15-minute things? Or do you want to try to knock out the remaining five?
Honestly, I like this topic.
Okay, then let's keep rolling, and then we can always go back into it. Okay, well, actually, let's do this. Okay, the final five, just like, I'm going to put you on the spot. You have five more days. What do you cover? And then we'll go back to timbre.
Okay, the next thing after tone and timbre. Not in order, but the things that just occur to me. Articulation. Flexibility.
Yep. I have flexibility 2, articulation on 3.
Okay. At jeez, pillars of playing. I don't know if this a pillar of playing. Like,
okay, here's a question for you. Would you put high range and low range as separate things, or would you say range is one pillar?
I was about to say range is going to be the next one. I would say range.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What about dynamic control?
Okay. Yeah. I think that's, for me, I put that into tone production.
Okay.
And timbre.
Got it. Yeah. I can see that. Well, I'm on the spot, so I'm thinking at the top of my head. Other pillars of playing. I only have one more. You said range. We already said flexibility. Said articulation. This gets so much into music. I don't know how much music you're planning on using and introducing, because I would say artistry, but that's...
Ooh, I like that.
That is a deep dive into a whole host of other topics. That's like, how do you measure and practice that without music?
Yeah. How do you,
because
phrase?
I could think, yeah, because that encompasses actually, I feel like every single one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that would be nice to have a fundamental day, because I would argue that that is probably the thing that's the hardest to teach, B, the hardest to grab the concept of, and C, to execute. And I would say I get more players that can do more of all those other ones, and then, but cannot evoke an emotional response out of what they're playing. And you're like, you have a great tone and you play like, you know, you play gangbusters out of the instrument, but I don't want to hear you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, because you can't phrase so.
You know what? You just convinced me to change my plan. I think I'm going to lump low range and high range together, and then spend the day specifically on musicality and phrasing. Yeah,
I have changed the entire trajectory of the 6-day fundamentals.
But you're right. I mean,
it's
like, if we think about how we define fundamentals as being technical based, then that's one thing. But if we think of fundamentals as being under the musical umbrella, then yeah, you can't not talk about phrasing, because that's one of the most, well, I think it's a large area that is lacking in development. Especially for younger players. But I don't even want to generalize that, because I've heard a lot of really fantastic technical players not be able to captivate me through their phrasing.
Agree.
So that's brilliant. I think that's a good plan. And the other one that I had was kinesthetics, scales, and patterns.
Yep.
So like just the finger stuff and like fingers, alternate fingerings and scales and things like that.
I think if I was to do this, I would probably lump that in with articulation somehow, were to do that, because I feel like we can practice articulation while moving our fingers and also not moving our fingers. So that's, I've done that together when I do fundamental stuff, but they're definitely separate topics too.
Yeah, the coordination, you're right. That's a huge thing for a lot of players in technical stuff. It's like they can do both sides of it, but just not together.
Yes. Okay. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? That makes me feel a lot better that we're on the same page and I put you on the spot.
Yes. Hooray.
So we have a little bit of time. I actually don't know how much time, which is the kind of fun thing. So let's go back to our discussion about tone and timbre and intonation and all of that good stuff. If you had to write a couple like troubleshooting or quick tips, like, how do you diagnose tone, and what are the most common, like, quick fixes that you find work for tone?
Yeah. I think you already said listening, making sure that there's a sound concept going on of, like, what is good, with the recognition that it does take a long time to develop. And I stress with my students first, like, they're not going to sound like someone they listen to on CDs and stuff like that. Like, you're not going to at first, especially if you're 17, 18 years old. Like, it's just not going to happen most of the time. There are people with really beautiful tones at that age. I go for characteristic sound.
Okay. And how do you define that?
With hearing what they want to sound like. And one of the things I also think that coordinates really well that I've found is actually the correlation between the change of how old they are and how things are going to naturally progress without hardly doing anything. Because I think we do get a better tone as we get older because we just we play for longer, right? And also we're physically changing from that. And we know, like, our students from that 18 to, like, 22, 23, 24 area, like, they are physically shifting actually quite a bit. And, like, structurally different.
Well, especially if they hadn't had any private instruction prior to college or anything like that. And now they're being asked to do certain things.
So I think they're going to improve regardless. But one of the correlations I'm finding a lot is actually when they're singing. And so tone is I make them sing a lot. And I mean, that's pure Arnold Jacobs. But I just I really buy into that a lot. And I know how my tone developed when I use myself as a case study when I started teaching ear training. And I would sing in front of a class of kids, like, a whole lot more. Suddenly, like, my voice developed. I've never had vocal lessons. I'd never do anything except sing in the car. And I suddenly developed, like, there was, like, a natural vibrato that happened.
That
started happening that I was like, what in the world? And talking with vocal teachers, they're like, yeah, that's what we do. Like, we open up the voice to make that happen. And then my tone on my horn changed. And I was like, wow, there's got to be a correlation here. And like I said, that's, you know, based on the same kind of thought that Jacobs had too, with the whole wind and song thing. And so I find that correlation between singing and playing so much, it is so related. And that's how I help them find, like, their characteristic and then a really good tone. And the ability to change color and timbre and all those things is if they can do it with their voice, then they're producing the sound concept that they hear in their ears and they're, you know, generally can produce it on the horn. I mean, there are always things, but that's at least a start. Yeah.
And that was probably just the most immaculate timing because there we are.
Perfect.
And that's going to put a button on our first mini topic, the six pillars of fundamentals, plus a deep dive into tone, timbre, and just how to sound good.
I feel like you didn't talk at all. I feel like I said way too much, and like we need to hear your idea on this.
Well, maybe that'll be next time.
Okay.
No, if there was something drastically different, I would have been like, no, I don't think so. But
you just said, be quiet. You're wrong.
I will say this much. The way that I'm structuring, I know we're, you know, this is the 15-minute topic thing, but I outline the how to do something and the why first in prose. And then I have a series of small exercises and then additional etudes for study. And then a creative application for further study, which is basically like little improv games.
Cool.
So it's like three or four different levels of explaining something, three to four different ways of explaining the same concept or reinforcing it for each of the fundamentals. And I don't know, it makes sense to me, but, you know.
It's
we'll
the
see.
Bloom's taxonomy of learning fundamentals. Right.
Or it's the sunk cost fallacy of like, this is the only way I know how to do it. And so I'm just too deep. And, you know, I don't know. It's not quite the right thing. But
well, they're listening to you for a reason. So
because they're forced to and they have no choice. Yes, that is correct.
And but, you mostly know what you're talking about.
I don't know. It's one of those things. The more you know, the less you know. Is that Dunning-Kruger effect or something like that? It's like
it's something.
But anyway, the last comment I'll say is that anyone who teaches knows that, you know, the job of a teacher is to know as many different ways to explain something. And also that, I don't know, you start from what works for you. And if that alone is what you speak on, then that has authority.
There you go.
So, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up this first little mini topic. Cool. We may do future ones, more deep dives into the various other categories. If you, the listeners, find that interesting and want us to do that, please let us know. If you find that not interesting and you'd rather have us talk about something else, also please let us know. Either way, we just want to hear from you. That's all. Yeah. So how do they do that? How do they reach out to us?
they can reach out to us through, we have our various social media platforms that you can always reach out to us at. We have an email at coromotohorn@gmail.com. And we're not putting these on YouTube anymore.
No.
So
no one goes to YouTube anymore.
Not there.
But I don't know, maybe we should start an Instagram.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should just post these on our personal accounts.
Yeah. Okay.
Something.
Okay. Something. You have a way to find us. You know how to find us. And we would love to hear from you.
Well, that's going to do it for us. Again, thanks again for listening and watching, I guess, even though there's nothing to watch. And until next time, make good decisions, I guess.
Thanks for listening. Bye.